three candidates at the time for chair, you know, my number one goal was to achieve good sustainable water quality and flows throughout the Otago waterways. And very much so in 3 years' time, I'll be looking at that saying, well, what did we actually achieve? I did, over and above, and I came up with some ideas and I put them in the ODT and I won't repeat them here and now. I think it made quite clear. I think there's a lot of simple things we just need to get on and do, you know. But anyway, there were four things that I identified in terms of going forward. The first one is leadership. So we've now settled on a chair. I want us out in the community doing positive things. And from what I can hear from everybody, I think, you know, there's some real commonality in that. And that really pleases me because we've been so focused on the policy space. Anyway, achieving outcomes and goals, so good water quality and sustainable flows and so forth, and we need to get ahead around how we actually do that. In terms of council priorities, I, you know, what's come from the previous term, and I have agreed with it, is, you know, water, biodiversity, climate change and urban. And, you know, this obviously this council needs to chew those things over, and I accept that, but I think there's some substance there. And regardless of who was to be chair, I was quite happy in terms of all councillors having some leadership role. I think, you know, that we are a different council and we've got a hell of a lot of things to do. But anyway, I'll leave that for another discussion. In terms of policy, I actually hope we learn from 6A. You know, we don't abandon that type of thing in the RPS. We actually, as a council, has been heavily criticised, but, you know, at different times, like I heard it today, oh, we're going to do the best for Otago. That's the type of rhetoric that's actually got us into this situation, for goodness sake. 6 years ago, we're going to do that. We're going to be innovative. We're going to keep the farmers happy. Rah, rah, rah. And then a year later, you know, actually, it's bloody complicated. We can't actually implement it. It's not standard with national policy. So let's just have a look. We need to chew that one over. We need to simplify and standardise, in my view, in terms of policy, integrate with national policy, and we've got a hell of a challenge to this council in terms of water quality over the next 6 months. 6A, we've made a promise that we pulled back on overseer, we pulled back on the contaminant levels, but we've said we're going to beef up our water quality, and we need to really, you know, that's a real key milestone from this council. Are we just talking or are we going to actually deliver on something? In terms of improvements on the ground, okay, community groups, I would actually like us to have a separate fund for water catchment groups. And this is not a new idea. This is something like Ella talked about this last term. Others talked about it, where we actually say, here's the amount of money for water quality and what are we going to do with this money to help these groups get some traction? We've already got an eco fund. But that typically goes off into biodiversity and it's sort of first and best dressed. Whereas actually water quality, water community groups, what are we going to do? How are we going to assist them on the ground? That's what I believe. And we need to increase the eco fund. It was actually a success of this council was the eco fund last term. In terms of process, transparent, legal, conflicts, councillor training, don't underestimate this commissioner thing, the training that goes with it.
Understand.
So I understand your sentiment,
yep.
But if people withdraw from it and put their heads in the sand, then, you know, we all need this type of training, you know, otherwise we miss, and my final one was equal opportunity, but it sounds like there's a few that are one step ahead of me. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Gretchen.
I think I've said way too much already today.
Come on.
But one thing that just occurs to me listening to Councillor Scott was, as well as thinking about doing everything differently, we had a biodiversity forum, which was well attended by all sorts of people, I think a year ago, and we found the key priorities that we thought would, to go forward there, and I think it actually translates to everything, is people feeling engaged, so telling the story why, about why you'd want to be involved in something, so that's the key, communicating and capturing people's imagination. And the second thing is being willing to act under existing policies, because there's actually really, really good ones in place if you just blooming well want to use them. So we don't always have to be thinking about, gee, well, let's reinvent everything.
Yeah.
there's a lot of good right now that we can do as well.
Yep. Good.
Thanks, Tim.
We hear a lot from Sarah, CEO, about Team ORC. So in my mind, over the next 3 years, I'd love us to be able to cement that in place, and that the governance arm is very much part of that, an important part of that Team ORC. I see that the trust between us as a governance team needs to be strengthened. I believe the trust with the community needs to be strengthened. And also believe the trust between ourselves, governance arm, and ELT needs to also be strengthened. So that's where my focus is.
ELT, darling?
Oh, sorry, Executive Management Team, the team of...
Oh, direct, sorry. Thank you.
General managers. GMs.
Thank you. Young man, Kevin.
Gosh. Firstly, just a wee bit about myself, I think. Kapitai te papara whenua, I tipu, a kea, o kei, kapitai, I raro, I te moro, I te moko, ko mukiwaka, I te taha, o te aka, ko otako, ko Scottish, ko roa, ko English, ka iwi, ko Malcolm, rato, ko Scholes, ko Douglas, ko Cotton, ka whanau, ko e tenei, ko Kevin, toho ko I koa, ko Jane, toho ko ho Rakatera, ko Blair, Rato, ko Diane, ko Aaron, I don't need to look to remember their names, ko Dean, ko Aaron, ka Tamaraki, and ko Esme, Rato, ko Isla, ko Archer Tomalolo, ko Patrick, ko Maisie Sopa, and ko Zoe, Ruby, ka Mokapona. Nā rewa, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm from Port Chalmers, born and bred, and really proud to call Otago home. Life has been really good to me. I have an unbelievable wife, four great kids, and as you heard, I had seven grandkids and I left the space, but I wasn't sure what to call them, but as to me, they are quite amazing. We own 27 hectares of an organic market garden at Totara that simply grows New Zealand's finest potatoes without doubt. We're also developing 20 hectares of orchards, of a cherry orchard and a native nursery on the Waitaki Plains. And we unashamedly love Otago. As a family, we believe it's absolutely critical that we protect our environment, but also that we contribute to our communities and ensure that they are strong and sustainable. The voters have given us a clear mandate to deliver change, and change we must deliver. And so I have three priorities, and I really think that this is the order that they should be in. My first priority will be staff, second will be community connection, and secondly, robust policy. The ORC and its subsidiaries must be seen to be good employers. We must quickly evaluate our position at the moment, ensure that our chief executive has the tools to deliver what I believe is a non-negotiable aspiration. Staff are our absolute key. We need to reconnect to our communities, understand their needs, their pressures, their aspirations. How can we actually, as a council, develop plans if we lack an understanding of what actually makes Otago tick? We have a key role also to protect our environment, but we must balance that with the need to ensure that we have strong, sustainable communities. To that end, we must have a priority to develop and review policy and ensure they are robust and enable that balance. I have a simple goal. We must have a strong and strong and sustainable communities built on a strong and sustainable environment. We will, and I'm sure with this team that we are going to obtain that, but we must work together as councillors, as staff, and as communities, and have one goal in mind, and that is the very best Otago possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Michael.
I think I've said enough too, so I defer.
You defer. I am going to say just a little bit, because not many of you know all that much about me. I'm not going into the whole life history. I have a bit of Dunedin in me. I had 7 years, long years, as a boarding student at St Dominic's College. Oh. Mm-hmm. Everything in the way I behave comes back to that. that building up beside the cathedral up there. My grandfather, a Patterson with one T, my mother said that two T's was called Patterson. My mother lived, you know, the swimming bars at St Clair. She was born on the house that was on the seaward side of that. Her father was a lifesaver. So I do have kind of Otago roots. It's true that I've spent most of my life as a teacher in Canterbury and then as a politician in Wellington. We'll go over those very fast. And and I chose to come when I returned with my lovely Welshman to New Zealand. We chose to come and live in Dunedin, largely because we're climbers. I climb. I'm a rock climber. But normally with somebody that I absolutely trust on belay. and also the only decent rockers in the Darrens. Everything else around here is pretty doubtful. I just want to give you warning of some of the things that I'm interested in. Obviously, the water is huge for me. In terms of climate change and reducing emissions, I'm really quite interested in looking at transport. And I understand your thing about us not necessarily running all the transport routes, but there is an overall thing about increasing the number of people using public transport, and I want to look at that issue, and also getting trucks off roads. There are things, areas which we have no power over, but we can have a voice in as we move that. And that includes, putting logs onto trains rather than on trucks going over State Highway 88 to the port. Okay, so those are issues that I'm also interested in. And Michael, I want to give you a warning. I did write the National Policy Statement, National Environment Standard on air quality, and I have real problems about some air quality places here in Otago. When I blow my nose after I walk down the road in Arrowtown, it feels as though I'm in Shenyang, or Mukden as it used to be known, in China. It is truly not good. So I do have those interests as well. And the other thing is, because of my work in Orokonui and on Predator Free, I have a natural interest, I've caught my first possum, in biodiversity and/slash biosecurity. Okay, and in biosecurity, that is the rabbits, okay, because there are issues around there, but it's how we work with people on the rabbits. That's enough for me. But just you see where I come from. Thank you. Gary.
Thank you. Yes, well, for those who don't know me, I have a sheep and deer farm just outside Alexandra, and we have other businesses in roading and quarrying and administration as well. And I've been heavily involved since living in Ireland for 5 years in catchment water groups, particularly with the Manuhirikia, and that's where my experience in with irrigation schemes and with developing new schemes like the Dairy Creek irrigation scheme, working with the likes of Contact and Pioneer and others around Central Otago, and looking at ways we can advance our catchment, knowing these big deadlines that were always looming, and how do you get the best outcome for those, and how do you bring a community with you as you do it. And we've reached that point now where the concern amongst the community is so great that you even have the likes of CODC's mayor suddenly coming on board, very vocal around wanting to see good outcomes and balanced outcomes across the catchments for CODC. So, having been an ORC councillor for 3 years in 2013 to 2016, and having another go to get on there with the by-election again, it taught me that you do not take these seats for granted. You don't have the ability to just expect you're going to get back on, and I'm humbled by the will of the voters to have me back here again. Some very clear, I think, for me, around moving the ORC forward, balance and sustainability, and Otago first, and how we look at everything. So I understand the principles around what central government are asking for, especially when it comes to water quality and what we will do with water quantity as well. But it has to fit with Otago, and I'm sure we can make that work. I think the more prescriptive we get concerns me, but I'm happy to work through options with that as we work around the table. But I think we need a lot more interaction. There is a lot of rebuilding to be done, certainly amongst our region, and I would like to think that will be done rapidly and swiftly, and I think now the changes that we've made will hopefully be well received across our community. Definitely very much looking forward to working together around this table, and we need to be mindful that the ORC has some absolutely wonderful staff throughout the organisation. It has lost a lot of absolutely wonderful staff, and we are lucky that a lot of those staff are sitting out there working for other groups, but they do place pressure on our staff. So often their ORC staff are coming into meetings with catchment groups where the staff they are, the consultants that they are now dealing with are possibly more au fait with water plans and with how the ORC got to the point that it is in, than the poor old ORC staff who might be new are coming into that. And I think I was very pleased to hear, as Gretchen had put in her piece, around how we need to engage a lot more with those out in the community, and they have an awful lot to offer. So I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to working with you all.
Thanks, Gary.
I did it a little bit differently. I hope that's all right.
Yeah.
I didn't go into detail like you have, Brian, because you're great at that, and I'm not good at that. So I just talked about what I practically bring. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
So I've said I bring to this council practicality. My water and drainage skills that I acquired while working for over a decade at the Dunedin City Council have kept me in good stead. I also spent a year while working for the Dunedin City Council undertaking asset management plan in the greater communities, the rural ones especially, and that's gained good knowledge, which I still find very useful today. There are a lot of particular water schemes that I had to go out to and look and write up notes about and research and figure out were they actually on the right properties or were they wrong. And it was very interesting because there was a lot of Land Court properties that had popped up, resold, and things weren't in the right places. All sounds very unexciting, but at the time we were able to prove, like for example, there was a wool shed, and I know this is diverting a little bit, but the people who bought the place couldn't get insurance when the wool shed burnt down because there was no records. They had been sold and put on another permit. You know, so I mean, this was probably $500,000. That was really, really critical, and nobody had bothered to find this. So I liked, you know, doing that sort of research as well. To understand too, you know, our environmental impacts, I was also very, very lucky in my last triennium where I relished the opportunity to attend all the meetings for South Otago River Care groups, as to attending all public meetings with Arrow, Cadrona and Manahira Care catchment groups. This, I feel, for me, has attributed to a greater understanding of Otago's various and diverse catchments, and to understand its people who live and work in these beautiful places. I think you have to go to these meetings, roll up your sleeves, put down whatever it is you're doing and say to these people, I'm here to take the notes, tell me what it is. And I think we've had a big change from the iffiness that they used to look at you to now saying, well, we want to do this or we want to do that. And every group I noticed had different aspirations or expectations out of the Manahira Care, for example. Mm. And I think it's a real respect thing when you can go as a counsellor out there and just say, look, I just want to hear from you. And I think that's important. So I see myself as engaging the communities, which is not always easy, and to be able to see other people's viewpoints. You need to weigh this up, and our role at the Otago Regional Council is challenging. I'm capable and competent, resilient. I see my role in engagement, listening out amongst our community, which is so essential for our council to build trust. I'd like to consider further roles if it may be possible, perhaps in emergency management and perhaps harbour master, marine studies, and I just think that's my role. I'm not strategic, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I just think I'm a practical person with some great skills at just bringing people together.
It was fabulous to hear about emergency management. For those of you who live in Central. Alexa, thank you, Carmen.
Thank you. Kia ora tātou, ko Pākehā ahau, ko Celtic tōku iwi, I whana mai I te ao mutu, ke Queenstown aho no e noho ana. So I'm born in Te Amuru, I have a rural background, and I moved to Queenstown 35 years ago, and I'm still there. And what I want us to achieve over the next 3 years is engagement that leads to real, true collaboration and partnerships across the TLAs and the community groups. Engagement and facilitation isn't my skills. I am a trained facilitator. I'm also a lecturer, and I'm also trained in thinking big picture, systems thinking, future. Systems thinking in terms of science and in terms of social engagement. Anyway, so that's what I'm interested in. I want us, our engagement, to lead to a broad understanding of community needs, transport, support for community efforts around pest control, biodiversity, freshwater management, and understanding the rural and the urban water needs. The difference is diversity, which is always a great thing, so I'm not worried about the things that people are feeling differently about stuff. I want engagement that empowers our staff and makes ORC an increasingly desirable place to work. Really empowering, and I want to be told if I get in the way, please. Everybody? I want a robust plan for delivering the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management and also the Urban Development. National Policy Statements are really super important. And freshwater, of course, is number one, but we have emerging urban areas that are under a lot of stress, needs to be looked at, and soil management, all sorts of things. But anyway, a robust plan for delivering those. I want one that delivers all the MPSs while supporting changes that both the urban and rural sectors need to make. And there will be needing to be support in both sectors. That means working together and understanding those communities. Waste management, a strong waste plan as part of our RPS that gives territorial authorities the steer that they need to encourage communities to refuse first, to reduce and recycle, including composting, etc., everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, green waste going to our tips and anywhere is just a disaster. And a lot of this means that at some point in this process, we're going to have to look at our economic model.
Yes.
It's not going to be pretty, but if we hold these things right, we can get there if we hold these things in our head. Transport, mode shift. Let's deliver mode shift, please, as a key move towards our carbon neutrality and towards better equality for our people. You know, and, you know, the 12-year-olds that have to rely on mum and dad to get around, that's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. No 12-year-old wants to do that. So it's a mode shift. Track and trail infrastructure that's complete or completions planned and accessible for all ages. Cheap, reliable, regular public transport where it's wanted across the region. We may have gone too far down the no action path to recover that, but I would prefer to see a regional approach. If we can't, and the two urban areas decide to take it on themselves, well, so be it. Climate change, a plan that covers action and that sits as a lens for all activity, not as a work stream on its own. It needs to be a lens across everything. Biodiversity, coordinated pest control across community groups and councils, they need to be together as one. Coordinated, monitored and enforced control mechanisms, e.g., for example, lifestyle blocks must have rabbit control coordinated with neighbours. I see this out in Queenstown all the time, it's just disastrous. Wild and pine control needs to extend into private property enforcement, probably. I'm heading into staff territory, so I'll stop, because I'm not allowed to do that. But that's basically where I come from, and yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Thanks, Alexa.
Thank you.
Young Michael?
Yeah. I'm surprised and pleased how much Alexa and I have got in common. I had two careers. One was in education, the other was in media. I actually started in newspapers before I became a teacher, and I carried them on as parallel careers, and which meant that a sort of the culmination was I became Director of Communications for the Ministry of Education in Wellington for about 5 or 6 years, which was very interesting work indeed. And it made me committed to the word engagement, and I see myself at this table as having something to offer in supporting, encouraging this council's engagement work in a whole variety of ways, including the media. I'm really interested in carrying on that area because I was chair of that committee in the last election, in the last triennium, and I know that it may not exist as a committee anymore, but I hope that in our portfolio management approach there will be scope for a councillor or three to be involved in the engagement area. I'd certainly like to stay involved in the EcoFund area because I see that as a critical part of our engagement, and I want to see that fund grow and become a biodiversity fund specifically as much as an EcoFund. I think we should set ourselves the goal as a council of every school in Otago being an Enviro school. We've got a few and they're doing terrific work, but we haven't got nearly enough. They should be in every community, encouraging kids to think the way we want them to think for their futures and for the future of the region. I want to see far more engagement online with our communities, making specific space for catchment groups and other groups who are doing the sort of things that we know they must do. So that would involve a fair amount of website development. I could go on and on about the engagement area, but I certainly want to stay in that area if I can and contribute something. I'm not much used to anybody who's talking about water science because that's not my background. But if there's something going on where we can engage people better, more fruitfully, in two-way conversations, then that would be great. I'll finish by saying this, that for some years I've been a member of the Dunedin City Council People's Panel. And I've talked about this before, and God knows why we as a council don't have an Otago People's Panel, which has interaction, debate, contribution to policy development, getting people's reaction to the ideas we have around this table and engaging them that way. I find what the DCC does is really good. And from what I hear from the other end of the DCC tube, they find it really good as well. So let's get cracking on that sort of stuff. I know I'm trampling all over Sarah's territory because I'm talking operational, but that's where I want to be, Marion. I want to be in that area.
Thanks, Michael. This is really, she's really worthwhile. Come on, young lady. Hilary.
Thank you. I don't know a lot about the things that we ought to be doing. I know we ought to be doing them, but that's where I come from when I say this is what's important to me. What's important to me is transparency and clear communication and keeping councillors informed. It's just embarrassing to me seeing things in the ODT that I knew nothing about, and I don't expect that to continue to happen. So I expect that councillors should be being told things. I think we need enough information to make good decisions. So, and I'm a test case because if the water people can tell me what they're doing and why they should be doing it in words of enough, the right number of syllables so as I can understand it, perhaps the people out there understand it as well. So I'm a wee test case. If you can convince me, who knows nothing. So good reports and information, and for that to come earlier. I think 48 hours notice of a proposal to come to council that's complex is not just not enough. It's just, and if it's important, we need to have more notice than that, because we might want, for instance, to have more information than has been presented, because the staff will, who are steeped in it all the time, might well understand things much better than we can. So we might want more information, and we just haven't got time to do it if we've got 2 working days or whatever. I'd like to get in amongst Port Otago and Chalmers Properties. The idea that they're nothing to do with us, I don't find compelling.
Not an idea.
And I think we should get in amongst it and find out what they're up to. And what they're up to is using our assets and spending our money, so we need to know more about it, I think. And also get in amongst the statement of intent that we have with them. Just little things like Chalmers Properties or Port Otago, and I'm not even sure who it was, giving away a piece of land to the university. I don't know how people give away our assets, but whatever. I think it's really important, going to be increasingly important with all the water quality things and the new rules that the government has or hasn't decided on where we're going with them, that we listen better to farmers and other landowners, because certainly a proportion of farmers out there at the moment feel like and behave like 2-year-old, very poorly behaved children,
And you would do, because people are saying, you're crap, you're crap, you're crap to them all day. And they wake up in the morning and how do they behave? And that's how they behave. And we need to be able to say, we know that we've all got the interests of the land in common. How do we get the best out of the land, all of us? There is no solution that will be a good solution without the landowners coming on board. And I don't think we're at that stage at the moment, and I think it's even more important because the vulnerability farmers feel to whatever the Honourable David Parker and co are doing is huge, and I'm very concerned about that. So it takes a lot of careful listening rather than starting off thinking every cow an evil beast or something. Anyway, I think it's going to be really important. So it's not a matter of, to me, engaging with the community so much as listening to the concerns and things that people have to try and figure out how to get the strains together and everybody bring their best rather than starting off by telling them that they're a packet. Whatever. And last but probably not least, I'm interested in the finances, and I think that although there's sometimes a perception that the ORC has more money, certainly more money than the DCC ever felt it had, I think money's being wasted. I think money's being spent in ways that it shouldn't be, and a combination of unaccountably, at least to the community, and just sort of seems to disappear off down the drain somewhere. And I would like to get in amongst understanding that too. Two little examples of that would be flood protection work in the Leith. You start off with flood protection. Over the years, there's probably two or three different parts that the council made a decision about. But you start off with an area who were going to have some flood protection work in North East Valley. They get rates taken away from them, and then suddenly somebody decides that they're not going to do that anymore. They've been paying rates, targeted rates, for something that they haven't got. Now, there's more and more, I can only presume because the Dundas Street thing goes on, more and more money being spent. There's, I understand, although I could be wrong, it's being paid for over 20 years, and the life of the assets that are being created must be 30 to 50 or 50 to indefinite or whatever it is. How come we're amortising them over 20 years? You know, there's all sorts of things about finances that I don't think are being... either they're not being watched over or we don't understand them well enough, or there's good reason, but how would we know? Bus ticketing's another thing. There's a lot of money disappearing out in the bus ticketing area that I just stumbled across that just isn't ideal. So anyway, that's what I want to get in amongst some of those things, because that creates the structure that allows the good things to happen. If all those things aren't happening properly, to my mind, you may as well forget about how many pest control things you can't do because you haven't got any money.
Thank you, people. Actually, I found that very worthwhile. Just getting a feel for the things that you feel that you want to work in. And that conversation will continue. At this stage, darlings, if you're happy, I want to declare the inaugural meeting of the ORC, Otago Regional Council, for 2019-2022 triennium closed.